Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back, everyone. George Blackard in for Aaron Flint. Have I got a big surprise this morning? Becky Hillier walked in, and if you listen to the show every week, you know she does a segment here on the show at 7 o'clock on Fridays. But I didn't know she was coming in today, so I am really excited because Becky and I served together on the Honor Flight Committee several years ago. We made 9 trips to Washington, D.C. together. We took like almost 800 World War II veterans.
755.
See, she knows exactly. I know this. 755 World War II veterans to Washington, D.C., and she was our MC at the banquet every time. Of course, everybody knows her. So, Becky, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, George, and it was so nice to walk in and see you. I don't think we've seen each other, maybe since then,
I think.
Although I do have a great story, because when I'm here, I like to talk about the bright side. Becky on the bright side, good stories in the community. So you lived down the block from us for a little while, and it was wintertime, and Mitch had hurt his shoulder, and so he had had shoulder surgery, and he was always really good about snow blowing the driveway and everybody's sidewalks in the whole neighborhood. Well, he was laid up with that recovering. You didn't know that.
No.
And I'm looking at all this snow falling thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to take me 5 hours to get all this cleared. Pretty soon I hear this sound, and here comes George with his snow blower, and you came all the way down to the other end of the street. You took care of our sidewalks. You took care of our driveway. You didn't even know that he was laid up from surgery.
I didn't.
And I was like, that George, he's a good dude.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
So that was awesome.
Well, thank you for that. You know, I would do that. We have such good neighbors on that block.
Oh, they were crazy. That's one reason. We lived there way longer than we thought we would. We lived there for 17 years, and we thought we'd be there 3 or 4. But the reason we stayed, we had a couple of really great neighbors that lived right, you know, like really close to us, super sweet guys. We just didn't have the heart to move. And then one of them, unfortunately, John, he passed away.
He was a Korean War veteran, I think, if I recall.
And he had this fantastical life as a geologist with oil companies, lived all over the world, retired when he was, I think, 55 or 57, and just went hunting and fishing, and such a Texas Southern gentleman. We loved him. He was a surrogate father and grandfather to us. And it was devastating when he passed away. And then after he passed away, we thought, we can move now.
he would
get so sad whenever he heard that we were going to move or were thinking of moving. So, but great neighbors in that neighborhood.
Great neighborhood. Really is. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Noyes down there next to me. Pepe, everybody, a great neighborhood. So, you know, I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to hear what you have to talk about. Yeah. We were talking about rodeo. We were talking about Hoodies for Heroes. Mm-hmm. We got a lot to talk about when we come back from this, and I'm super excited to have Becky Hillier here, formerly a news anchor.
Yeah.
You've seen her on TV. You've heard her on the radio. Well, she's got a great story for you coming up after this break.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A sunshine and some increasing clouds as we head further through the day today. Could see a couple late-day showers towards the Bozeman area. High temperature readings from the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. For tonight, with some cloudiness and some scattered rain showers, mixing with snow towards the Bozeman area by morning. Lows in the mid and upper 30s around the area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
This is House Call for Health. The Department of Health and Human Services rolling out a new initiative aimed at protecting our nation's youngest. Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. launching a new task force aimed at improving the safety of baby formula. Operation Stork Speed calls for a review of heavy metals and other contaminants in infant formula. The agency will also start a nutrient review process and encourage companies to work closely with the FDA. A recent Consumer Reports investigation found potentially harmful levels of arsenic and lead in some baby formulas, but the study showed most did not have high levels of contaminants. The review comes after a formula shortage in 2022 during the global supply chain crisis, exacerbated by the shutdown of an Abbott formula plant in Michigan over sanitary violations. Secretary Kennedy is pushing for the U.S. to ramp up its domestic production of formula, calling it a national security issue. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe. Get it.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so Becky, tell us some good news. Tell us a good story. We've got all this bad news out there. It'll be great to hear something refreshing and good.
Right, to send everybody into the weekend on a positive note. That's what we like to do. So Yellowstone Valley Woman Magazine obviously highlights women in the Billings area in Yellowstone County who are doing really great things. Well, for the first time in their 20-plus year history, they have a men's edition where they're highlighting men in the community who are really making a positive impact in Yellowstone County. And so I had the privilege of interviewing Tuff Harris about his One Heart Warriors project, and Aaron and I talked about that earlier, about a couple months ago when I was writing that story. The edition came out this month, and it features these men who really are doing wonderful things in different areas throughout the community and positively impacting people's lives. And another story in there is Rick Baker. He's from Shepherd, Montana. And, you know, like a lot of young men after 9/11, he really felt that call to serve his country. And so he enlisted in the Army, and he was assigned to the Old Guard. And, of course, we know that's the unit that guards the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Not his dream assignment, but he did come to have a deep appreciation for it. And when he would come into work, he would pass by the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And like you and I saw on our many trips back there, he would see men touching the wall, touching a name and crying. They were just so emotional and moved to tears. And he realized that those memorials are really there to help people heal and process their grief and hopefully find some closure. And so he eventually ended up serving in Operation Enduring Freedom. And when he came home, he had that experience of losing battle buddies as well. And it really impacted him and set him on this path that he had no clue he would ever be on. When he returned, he went to Fort Carson, Colorado. He was a member of the All-Army wrestling team, was injured while wrestling, injured his shoulder, had to have surgery. Surgery didn't go so well, and he was honorably discharged from the Army. He ended up, you know, being prescribed oxycodone because opioids were not regulated back then like they are now. He got addicted to those, had lots of problems for almost a decade, ended up going through a veterans treatment court, and slipped up in the program and earned himself a two-year stint in the Montana State Prison. And while in prison, you know, he had a lot of time to reflect, and when he got out of prison, he thought, man, I gotta do something meaningful with my life. And so he was a welder. He got a degree in psychiatric rehabilitation, and he started this company called Metal Tech. not only did he want to help veterans with PTSD, but he also, in drug addiction, he also wanted to do something with his hands and use his talent as a welder. So as he was standing in line at the Yellowstone County Courthouse to get his business license, he had this epiphany. He looked out and he saw the Vietnam War Memorial and the World War II Memorial, and he thought, there is no memorial to honor Montana soldiers who have been killed in action in more recent conflicts. So it got him thinking. Long story short, he starts this nonprofit organization called Hoodies for Heroes, which has the names of Montana soldiers emblazoned who have been killed in action emblazoned on the back. He sold those hoodies, eventually ended up raising $500,000 for the groundbreaking of a memorial on the grounds of Dealer Park. It's absolutely beautiful. And so this memorial called the Freedom Memorial was constructed, and it has the names of those soldiers killed in Iraq and Afghanistan and more recent conflicts. On it. It can be added to if need be in the future, but it's really been a turning point in his life and in the lives of families whose sons and daughters have been killed in conflict overseas. So this Memorial Day, he has $30,000 left to raise to finish the lighting for the memorial. And this Memorial Day, he will officially sign the memorial over to the city of Billings. But such a long journey for him, very personal for him, because he understands the pain and loss of losing people you've served with so closely. And you understand that too, George. You just become such a unit. And these men that you serve with become your family. So that personal experience and everything rolled up to it, the good and the bad together, have led him to do something really transformative for the veterans community here in Billings. And what an awesome sight to know that when he passes by, he created that. His wow. ambition and his vision and his sincere concern and care for the military community built that. Yeah. That will be there forever. So Hoodies for Heroes, if you would like to help him out, raise that last $30,000. I know he would appreciate that.
Wow. That, you know, I saw those hoodies all over the
yes.
place at the VFW and the Legion and all these different places. And I didn't know the story behind it,
mm-hmm.
but that is a great story. And that story is so inspiring, because here's somebody that wanted to serve their country. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they had a few bad things happened
right.
to him, you know, that kind of changed the path of that life as it was going along, and, you know, a little jail time
mm-hmm.
and, you know, but you can come back from that
yeah.
stuff. And that's what's so great about this story, is you really can come back from those type of things. And you know, we face disappointments in our lives a
mm-hmm.
lot.
And, oh, yeah.
and it's all in how you react to that and what you do, because just like that, I mean, he could have given up, he could have
yeah.
taken a whole different path, but wow, that's great.
Yeah, and a lot of people would have. I always say there is redemption for all. Because you have a setback, or because you've made a misstep, or you've made a bad decision, or whatever it is, it doesn't mean that it has to be the end. You don't sit there and wallow in your misery. You learn from it, and if you learn from it, then you flip the script and you turn it into something positive.
Absolutely. That, you know, I talk about that all the time. You got to learn from these experiences
yeah.
and then put them behind you and move on a little bit smarter, a little wiser, but
yep.
you can't be defeated by it.
No, you know? Can't. It's that is our inner spirit, is to survive and thrive, and that's exactly what Rick has done.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Everyone knows that prices for just about everything have grown tremendously over the last few years. What's less obvious and less reported on is that the economy has grown tremendously as well. That's especially true in mountain states like Montana. When you ask the question, what percentage of the jobs lost during the pandemic has Montana recovered, you get an astounding answer, more than 150%. That's the kind of growth that helped state government record extraordinary budget surpluses in the immediate wake of the pandemic, some of which were returned to taxpayers as rebates. That's a great good news story. Except for one thing, it's history. State revenues are not growing double-digit rates anymore, far from it. In fact, in the most recent fiscal year, which ended June 30th, state tax revenues actually fell when corrected for inflation. And we're not alone. Former high-flying states like Utah and Nevada kept us company with their own declines in inflation-adjusted tax revenues. I'm Patrick Bakke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Fox's Brett Baer interviewed Elon Musk yesterday, the budget cutter in chief, who says he's going to cut a $2 trillion federal deficit to $1 trillion. That may well be unrealistic, but he is trying to apply Silicon Valley techniques to all of this government spending and claims that this will help people get benefits as opposed to many of them losing their job. But here's what was really smart about it from Musk's point of view. People think of the Doge team as these sort of nameless, faceless musketeers who are possibly ruining their Social Security, making mistakes. And by the way, Musk admitted mistakes. But they seem like smart engineers, and it puts a face to what had been a bureaucratic effort. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Deere & Company has filed an answer to the Federal Trade Commission's lawsuit alleging the tractor manufacturer holds a monopoly over its repair services. The FTC says the company unfairly drives up costs and restricts farmers from fixing their equipment in a timely manner. Attorneys defended Deere in a federal court by repeatedly denying allegations that its business practices are unlawful. Manufacturing Dive says the issue over equipment repair practices have been building for years, with technological advancements that companies say are designed to make consumers' lives easier create headaches for those looking to fix their tractors. While Deere offers a different repair tool to customers and independent repair shops, the FTC claims that version is inferior to the one available to authorized dealers, saying the tool is allegedly incapable of doing all repairs on John Deere equipment. The company acknowledged the existence of two tools, but denied one was inferior. And if you know a college student looking for scholarship opportunities, Certified Angus Beef is awarding $100,000 to college students passionate about food and agriculture from the Colvin Scholarship Fund. Applications are across three categories and open through April 14th. For more information and to apply, just visit Certified Angus Beef online. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
All right. Well, you know, there we go. We're chit-chatting and missed the cue. Glad that our engineer found it on the window.
Good job, Caden.
Yes, thank you very much. So, you know, that story that you told, Becky, there's a lot to take out of that story. You know, the things that I heard is, well, one, you know, he served his country. Mm-hmm. So he signed up to join the military, served his country. But he injured his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So here it is. You get the opportunity to do something you love. He's wrestling.
Right.
Right? And you're serving your country and you're wrestling mm-hmm. and you're doing... And then you hurt your shoulder, and that ends the wrestling, and it ends your military career.
Yeah.
That could have been something that would just crush some people
right.
and make it so that, you know, that's the end. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the end for him. And then the pain meds
yeah.
story, which is all too common
gosh, yeah.
in the VA with people. And it's less common now, but still happens. He had that. That could have been the end, you know.
Then, yeah.
He went to Veterans Court, which is a good thing, but then he went to jail for a while. That could have been the end. But he took all those things and persevered, and then he started his own business. He started this memorial.
And he got a degree.
Yeah, it changed his direction of life because he was, would you tell me, a welder?
A welder.
He mm-hmm. was a welder. But then when he had this vision that he wanted to do something different, he went and got a degree in psychology or counseling.
Yeah, psychiatric rehab.
Mm-hmm. Changed the direction of his life.
Right.
I mean, you just can't give up. And this is a great example of that.
Yeah, it really is. And we were talking about that intestinal fortitude that some people have. And those who don't stay mired in self-pity and gloom and doom. And those that have that intestinal fortitude will just propel themselves into a life they never imagined, because you can't give up on yourself. You always
right.
have to be willing to bet on yourself. And yeah, I mean, think about Rick. So he served his country. He was wrestling. He was an elite athlete. is honorably discharged, but then finds himself addicted, which is, you know, to painkillers, out of his control. He could have given up so many different times, and especially after he came out of prison, he could have thought, I have nothing to offer. No one's going to look at me seriously, take me seriously. No one's going to give me a chance. But he didn't let that stop him. He used that to propel himself into a life he never dreamed of, that is just so positive and impactful in the community. And it's so easy to think, I'm not perfect, so I am not worthy of goodness or light in my life. I am not perfect. I have failed. I don't deserve good things. But we all do. We have to make peace with that and understand that there is a lesson to be learned from all of that. And it can propel us into a wonderful, positive future like it did for Rick. Yeah. And I'm just so proud of people like him who do pull themselves back up. He could have given up after he was in prison. I mean, that's a heavy burden to bear. Mm. But he didn't, because he knew his life had value. He knew he had skills and talents that God gave him to serve his community and to do good. And that's exactly what he did. He identified those, and he's gone out, and he's done good, and he continues to do good. And we should all be very proud of him.
Yeah, we should. And, you know, my hat's off to him for doing that, mm-hmm. persevering and coming out on top like that. And, you know, the thing, life is full of challenges, mm-hmm. and he may face some other challenges in the future, too. And I hope that he overcomes those as well as he did these. You know, I hope that for everybody, that, you know, if you face a challenge, you can be stronger mm-hmm. when you make it through those types of things. So, I that's a great story. I'm so glad you shared that one with me. You know, we were talking about a couple of other things, and I know this probably was unexpected for you, but we were talking about the rodeo here in Billings. Big changes going on with that.
Big changes. So the Nile Rodeo has been moved from October to August during Montana Fair. So August 14th, 15th, and 16th this year will be Rodeo Billings, the last weekend of Montana Fair, in a brand new outdoor arena that is being built on the Metro Park grounds. And we're very excited about that. The positioning of Rodeo Billings being in August is really beneficial when it comes to the caliber of cowboys and athletes that we'll have here competing, because it falls 6 weeks before the end of the professional rodeo season. So it's very competitive. You have these guys who are scrambling to qualify for the NFR. The road to the NFR will go through Billings this year, courtesy of Rodeo Billings, as opposed to when the rodeo was in October, which was 2 weeks after the professional rodeo season. And so, you know, it's not as competitive. The guys are resting up for the NFR, so you don't get the high quality top cowboys here competing. But this summer you will. And just imagine this, George, you're in this beautiful outdoor arena in late summer Montana. The sun is setting, the sight, sounds and excitement and electricity of the atmosphere and environment, and you're out there enjoying it at a rodeo outdoors in Montana. It doesn't get much better than that in the summer. So we're super excited for Rodeo Billings.
Wow, that is great news. It's funny that you're here, because I was just talking about that yesterday with someone. So George Blackard in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back. All right, so the rodeo. So that's exciting that it's going to be earlier, that it's going to count, that the talent's going to be here, the stock's going to be here, all of that. You know, that gets me really excited. And so we were talking about, you used to have the grandstands there, mm-hmm. and we don't have that anymore, but you've got bleachers coming in with backs on them, and this is going to be a nice setup.
Right, and this is the first phase of the outdoor arena. We don't own it. It's not a Rodeo Billings or Nile thing. Metro Park will be in charge of that. This is a county thing. But it really is the first phase of the development of this new outdoor arena, which is not just for rodeo. There will be other events in there, equine events, possibly concerts. We'll see what the Metro does with it. But it presents a lot of creative opportunities for outdoor entertainment in an outdoor venue in Billings. But the first phase of this, there will be about seating for about 3,200, but then it's expandable on the sides, so we can seat eventually up to 7,000, 8,000 people there, which makes it a really nice-sized outdoor arena, especially for rodeo. So we'll have things, they will have things done by July 15th. Everything will be in place, and safety checks and everything, and it'll be ready to go. For Rodeo Billings, that will be the first major event that will be held in the arena. But yeah, very excited about it. And everybody I've talked to about it has been so enthusiastic about outdoor rodeo coming back. It almost seems sacrilegious to have a summer rodeo indoors in Montana.
Yeah, Montana.
Yeah, in Montana.
Because I was just at one in Texas, and it was great to be indoors in the air conditioning.
Well, that's a big difference between Texas and Montana this time of year.
Yeah, you know, that the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is incredible. It goes on for like 3 weeks. And it, you know, I saw a national news story about the two, the grand champion and the reserve grand champion steer kids, you know?
Yeah.
They made like $1 million between those two animals, and I got to see them down there.
Yeah.
And the kids, they interviewed them at the rodeo, and they were both really, really good. Mm-hmm. And the first one, he talked about, you know, he thanked his mom, his dad, his sisters, his grandpa, his grandma. And it was really, you could tell he's got his priorities in the right place. And the second one, he thanked all moms, dads, sisters, brothers, grandparents.
Oh, I love that.
And they were very well spoken, and you could tell they put in a lot of hard work on that. And it was great to see that in person. And, you know, I think we got to see at the very end, that was one of the last things they did.
Mm-hmm.
They had another thing where they let all these calves out in the arena.
Oh, yes, the calf scrambled.
Yeah,
yes,
and those kids dragging those things. They're hanging on to tails, being dragged around. It was the best thing.
If you haven't seen that or experienced that, it is hilarious to see.
It is so funny. It really is. Well, Becky, thank you so much for coming here.
Oh, it's great to see you again, George.
Yeah. Yeah, I love those good news stories, and now I'm going to rethink the whole rest of the show.
There you go.
Thanks very much.
Montana Talks, where you get the mark. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, well, that was fun. It's always great to see Becky, and it's great to hear a good news story like that. I really like those, and they're sometimes hard to find, but they're out there. You know, all we hear about day to day is bad stuff. It's somebody did this, somebody did that, this happened, that happened. But there's a lot of good news out there. There are good things that happen in our communities and our towns just every day. You just got to look for them. And, you know, so many times people that make such big differences in our communities, they kind of go unsung, and a lot of that stuff happens behind the scenes. Nobody hears about it. And so it's great to hear a story like that. You know, I'm always happy to hear when a veteran does well and overcomes and perseveres, and that's great stuff. So, you know, we were talking about the rodeo here in Billings, and that's going to be great that it comes back to the fair. But, you know, I went to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo last week, and oh my God, it was so funny. The calf, roundup, they have these calves and they let them loose all over the arena, and they take these kids and they put them in a box, that's, not a literal box, but they draw white lines on the ground and they're standing there. And they let them go, and they all run out, and they're trying to grab a calf and drag it back into this box. And so they're out there. They're hanging on to these tails of these calves, being dragged backwards, upside down. It's hilarious. It was one of the greatest things. If you've never seen it, it makes me laugh every time I see it. But they had that. They finished up with the mutton busting, which was great. That's always good for a laugh. And then Parker McCollum played after that. So what a great show. There were 80,000 people in that arena. It was insane. It was so fun. It's the biggest carnival that I've ever seen in my life. It's massive. And there's so much to do there. There's so many exhibits and so many different
shops and things that you can buy. And you can sit and watch eggs hatch if you want to. I mean, you can do it all at that Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. So if you ever get the chance to go, I recommend it. It is a good time for sure. So I talked earlier, I kind of hinted about the story that I saw about microplastics. And, you know, oftentimes we see our water and we think that, well, it's clean, it runs through a plant, it's you know, there's nothing wrong with my water. But there are things in the water that can't be removed and easily or by those plants. And microplastics is one of them. There's such small particles of plastic that they're hard to filter out. They're hard to get out of our water. But I read this story in Science, and it was about how to get those microplastics out. And it's really incredible. It's as easy as boiling the water. And so you can go online and you can read about this yourself. But you can boil the water and it removes a lot of those microplastics. And one of the things that I took away from that story is hard water, it's easier to get the microplastics out of hard water than it is soft water. And it's something to think about. So go out there, do a little research, enlighten yourself on that. Who knows what other scientific thing you might find while you're out there looking for that. But that's something that we should all be concerned about. So, you know, I saw a local story that caught my eye the other day, and it tells you, this is a great example of left versus right, of what the media portrays something to be, and it's not always what it seems. So you may have heard that there was a town hall meeting, and it was put together here in Billings, and there were nearly 1,000 people there. And the thing about it is, when you deep dive into this, on the outside, and the way the media portrayed this, our three congressmen were invited to come to this town hall meeting, and they blew it off, and they didn't show. And the way that story makes it sound is, you know, we had this event, they were supposed to be here, but they didn't show, and they don't care about Montanans, and they don't care about people. Well, that's not really how this happens. You cannot just say, hey, we're having this meeting, and we want you to be there. It's on this day. You can't just do that and expect them to be there. These people, I've worked with them for years, and not all, and you know how I am. I badmouth all politicians, but you can't do that. And then when they don't show up, say, well, they were supposed to be here, but they didn't show. So, you know, there's a difference between confirming they're going to attend and then not confirming they're going to attend and then getting mad that they didn't show up. But the other thing about that story is, if you look at who hosted that town hall, that tells you a little bit too. So it was hosted by a group called Indivisible, and that group was started in the wake of George Floyd's death. And so I saw this on MSN. I saw it on local news too. It was a movement that was started to rein in abuse and curtail funding, defund the police and other law enforcement agencies. So if you deep dive into this, you see that, hey, first of all, they weren't confirmed that they were going to be there in the first place. Second of all, it's this questionable group that started this. And then you have the Gazette that jumps on board, and they write it in such a way that, yeah, it looked, they didn't show up. They were supposed to be here and they didn't come. Well, you didn't have a confirmation to begin with. But there is one interesting thing. Sheehy's office did give a response, and his response was this. He says, quote, here's my response to media asking if I will attend Democrat dark money group Indivisible's left-wing rallies. No, I will not legitimize a radical group that wants to defund the police and abolish ICE. So there you go. So, you know, there's always more to a story than meets the eye. So, hey, we've got Big Jim in Illinois. Holy cow. Let's find out what's on Big Jim's mind today. How are you, Jim?
This is Big Jim from Okina, Illinois. I hope you can hear me all right. But you were talking about Honor Flight, and I did my Honor Flight in September, and I work with Honor Flight now. And I was asked last week at our village hall to put the most impactful part of my mission, the Honor Flight. And I wrote the following. I said, all the memorials and commemorative sites in the mall in Washington, D.C. can bring tears and a sense of pride in being an American. The Marine Corps Memorial and the White Crosses and Stars of David in Arlington speak for themselves. While the Korean War statues are a piece of art in their own right, the Vietnam War, while simple in design, brings a cold chill to your bones as you trace the names of your friends. But it's the Vietnam Women's Memorial that was the most impactful. All the other memorials show respect and honor to the past, but this sculpture shows the horrors of war. Only Jesus on the cross conveys more emotion. Bernadette Sanders, who was a 22-year-old Air Force nurse and who was very involved in getting that memorial made, was a member of our flight. And she brought the statue to life with her following statements about a couple of her experiences. One, I was working in an air vac unit where all you do is basically keep the patients stable and comfortable until they get on the plane. There was a real big guy, and he had no arms and legs, and he kept asking me to kill him. He didn't want his mom to see him that way. Of course, I couldn't do it. He ended up dying that night, and I was glad that God took him. The other time was when the ER was too full of casualties, so we had a soldier that came in directly from the field. One of the guys that came in was holding his hand, which had been severed. When he came out of surgery, all he could do was yell at me that we didn't sew his hand back on. But there was nothing, just nothing left. He had no arm left. I fall asleep with every night. Close your eyes for a second. See the white crosses and stars at Arlington. Now look back at the Vietnam Women's Memorial and envision not a nurse, but a mother, a wife, or a daughter.
Hey, Big Jim, hang on to that. Hold on to that thought. We got to take a quick break, but I'm going to come back to you after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps, requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
Fox News commentary.
Jasmine Crockett is in hot water over her Hot Wheels comment, and her excuse is landing like a lead balloon. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Texas Rep. Jasmine Crockett managed to unlock a new low by making fun of Texas Governor Abbott for being wheelchair-bound. She thought she was mighty funny nicknaming him Hot Wheels in front of a packed crowd at a human rights event of all places. Texas Governor Abbott is indeed wheelchair-bound, and he has been since his mid-20s when he was paralyzed in a tragic accident. Even tone-deaf Jasmine knows that little Hot Wheels joke went over like a lead balloon, so she came up with a wild explanation to pass it off. In a statement, she tried to make us believe she referred to wheelchair-bound Governor Governor Abbott as Hot Wheels because he bused and flew migrants to blue cities. Yeah, sure, but even worse, when confronted by reporters over her horrible choice of words, she refused to offer an apology. Jasmine Crockett is making Democrats look bad, and while that's not hard to do, it is shameful. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A sunshine and some increasing clouds as we head further through the day today. Could see a couple late-day showers towards the Bozeman area. High temperature readings from the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. For tonight, with some cloudiness and some scattered rain showers, mixing with snow towards the Bozeman area by morning, lows in the mid and upper 30s around the area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, you got to check out this chart. It's from Zero Hedge. Look at the states that raised taxes. Look at the states that lowered taxes. Now, look at Montana. As our friend Greg Franks pointed out, Montana has the second highest percentage drop in income taxes in the country. And if we keep moving forward with income tax relief in the legislature, we could rank number one.
Right Auto Body, 2012 First Avenue North in Billings, or visit them online at BillingsBestAutoBody.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get back to Big Jim in Waukino, Illinois. He was talking about our war memorials, the honor flight, Washington, D.C. Big Jim, sorry we had to head to that break, but pick up where you left off.
Yeah, close your eyes for a second and see the white crosses and stars of David at Arlington. Now look back at the Vietnam woman's statue, but now envision not a nurse, but a mother, a wife, or a daughter. See her anguish as she holds her dying son, husband, or father. That anguish was felt on each of those stars and also those crosses in the Star of David. I look back at the face of the nurse and see my wife as a freshman at Northwestern University studying economics. 1968 was a tough year for her, navigating a highly demanding academic environment, being a long ways from home from New York, having to confront anti-war protesters, seeing the war in Vietnam on TV, reading about the death count of American soldiers, and writing to her two brothers. One was serving in Laos and the other in a Ranger unit in Vietnam. Both brothers returned home and are now buried in St. Mary's Cemetery in Waukino, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. While not matching the anguish of the families of the dead, her situation still presented a trying mental struggle as she worked to concentrate on her studies and pray for her brothers. Soldiers are trained to concentrate on mission and not focus on dying, but the families, including mine, worried every day about their soldiers' safety as a fog of death hung over their daily activities.
You know, that...
Hello?
Yeah, that is a lot to think about. And I think you hit on a lot of good points and things for us to think about. And one of the things that I do know is you mentioned that the Nurses Memorial there is very powerful, and it is. Because you're right, you get to see people. It represents people. It's not a wall. It's not a column. It's not an obelisk. It's people. And the way those nurses are holding that soldier and looking up to the sky for the helicopter to come in and get them, and it's very moving. And that is one of my favorite memorials there in Washington, D.C. That and the Korean War Memorial as well, because it has statues of people in it as well. So very good. Now, Big Jim, are you a Vietnam veteran?
Yes, I am. 715th Field Artillery, and I spent a lot of time in Bozeman, and I try to listen as often as I can. I try to get other people in Mokena to listen to your show because it is an excellent show.
Well, thank you very much, Big Jim, for calling in. Thank you for your service. Thank you for sharing that with us. It means a lot to me, being a veteran myself. And it means a lot to people in Montana, very patriotic people. So, Big Jim, I hope you have a great weekend. I appreciate the call, and you take care.
We're going down to our veterans' home. We have two Korean War veterans that we have a fast track to get them on the next flight in April. So we're looking forward to getting them down there to see that Korean War
movie. Nice.
So thank you for putting me on the air.
You bet. Thank you very much.
So that is a great story. And so if you don't know, the Honor Flight originally was created to take our World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. to see the memorial built for them. But once that was done, so many of the Honor Flight committees and groups said, you know what, let's take the Korean veterans. And then it was, let's take the Vietnam veterans. So they have continued that practice of taking our veterans back to Washington, D.C., and it is a healing trip for a lot of people. It's a great experience. If you have an opportunity to be involved, I highly encourage it.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Everyone knows that prices for just about everything have grown tremendously over the last 3 years. What's less obvious and less reported on is that the economy has grown tremendously as well. That's especially true in mountain states like Montana. When you ask the question, what percentage of the jobs lost during the pandemic has Montana recovered, you get an astounding answer, more than 150%. That's the kind of growth that helps state government record extraordinary budget surpluses in the immediate wake of the pandemic, some of which will return to taxpayers as rebates. That's a great good news story, except for one thing, it's history. State revenues are not growing double-digit rates anymore, far from it. In fact, in the most recent fiscal year, which ended June 30th, state tax revenues actually fell when corrected for inflation. And we're not alone. Former high-flying states like Utah and Nevada kept us company with their own declines in inflation-adjusted tax revenues. I'm Patrick Bucky.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.